This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Evangelical church leaders say they can only go so far in promoting vaccines to their members.
Some just did not want to wear masks and felt they were fine. We tried to represent everybody well.
White evangelicals rank first among groups rejecting the vaccine. Plus, Normal City Manager Pam Reese reflects on how the town council addressed unfounded ethics allegations against her, levied by one council member. The human services sector in Bloomington Normal may be understaffed, underpaid, and underappreciated, but it's still a huge part of the Twin Cities economy. And State Senator Dave Kaler talks about being the first Democrat to represent Bloomington Normal in the General Assembly in four decades. All that and a news update on the way. This is Sound Ideas on WGLT. This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Let's run down some of the day's top stories. Illinois' new political maps could lead to a crowded field of Democrats who want to represent Bloomington Normal. Former Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner says he's exploring a run for the newly drawn Illinois House 91st District.
I certainly do need to do a little bit of soul searching and thinking of myself as well. And what this is a pretty substantial commitment, obviously. It's less visible, really, than being a Metro Mayor.
Former House candidate Carla Bailey Smith says she will run for the seat. She expects to formally declare by October. The head of the McLean County Democratic Party says at least two other high-profile Democrats are considering a run for that seat, too. The University of Illinois has announced all students must be vaccinated against COVID-19 to be on campus this fall. The U of I says the decision is consistent with its scientific modeling and Illinois Department of Public Health goals. The rule will apply to faculty and staff as well. Hundreds of schools across the country have already announced vaccine requirements. Illinois State University and other Illinois public colleges and universities have said they are waiting for guidance from the state. One of Governor J.B. Pritzker's top advisors is leaving his administration. Former Illinois Comptroller Dan Hines has served as deputy governor for budget and economy for 2.5 years.
I really had no intention of going back into government, and the only reason I did, or the main reason I did, was because of my incredible respect for Governor Pritzker, and I also, from a personal standpoint, felt that there was some unfinished business, that the state, still had a lot of financial problems, and I could offer something to that.
Hines is 52 and says he still wants to serve on a volunteer basis. Former State Senator Andy Menar will take over for Hines. One of the most decorated coaches in Illinois State University athletics history has died. John Coughlin coached ISU to 25 Missouri Valley Conference championships in cross country and track and field. He mentored nearly 300 individual champions during 23 seasons, coaching men and 8 years coaching women. He was 80. This is Sound Ideas on 89.1 FM, WGLT, and WGLT.org. I'm Charlie Schlenker.
Support for WGLT comes from Bloomington Normal Audiology. BNA's Hear My Story series continues with local patient Steve Peterson.
I can take out my phone, I can turn them up a little bit or turn them down a little bit. I didn't know because I'd never had them before. And there is a learning curve, but it changed my life.
Steve's full story can be found at bnaudiology.com.
You're listening to Bloomington Normal's public media. Surveys show white evangelicals, people of color, and rural residents are among those most likely to refuse the COVID-19 vaccine. As vaccination rates drop, health officials are targeting those specific groups to encourage vaccination to get closer to herd immunity. Eric Stock reports faith leaders in McLean County say they're willing to help the public health campaign, but they can only go so far.
Christ Church of Normal is a conservative Presbyterian and evangelical church. It recently returned to a regular service schedule after 15 months of pandemic restrictions.
Father, we're so thankful that you have brought us back together, that we are meeting again with no restrictions. And we're
Bob Smart is pastor at Christ Church. He says COVID made organized worship difficult. The church started online services, ran 3 simultaneous in-person services to social distance, and Smart says last summer it made one of the services mask optional.
There's always a debate, and some just did not want to wear masks and felt they were fine. So We tried to represent everybody well.
Smart says writing sermons has also been difficult in the last year, trying to help people make sense of so many pressing issues, the pandemic, racial justice, and then a contested election, all in the context of their faith. When it comes to the COVID-19 vaccine, Smart says he doesn't talk much about that from the pulpit. A survey from the Public Religion Research Institute ranks white evangelicals first among Americans who say they won't get the COVID vaccine. Smart says he believes a healthy percentage of the approximately 450 members at his church are vaccinated against COVID. Smart says his church's members have vastly different views about political issues, but they don't fit the stereotypes often portrayed on social media.
It just seemed like there wasn't a lot of evangelicals represented in social media that had both conservative views and compassion.
Smart says he believes in the efficacy of COVID vaccines. He says he listens to the medical professionals in his own congregation. And that's a key part of the McLean County Health Department response to ease vaccine hesitancy. The department held several virtual town halls for the Black and Spanish-speaking populations to address their concerns about the COVID vaccine. Health Department spokesperson Marianne Manco says churches and other faith communities can provide a trusted environment.
We found that most faith-based organizations, most pastors, most churches are really giving the message that take a look at all of the parameters and what's going to help you make a decision. But in the end, we want you to be healthy and we want you to do the right thing.
Manco says the health department has worked with the faith-based groups to identify potential barriers to vaccination. Maybe someone lacks transportation or they can't make it to Bloomington to get the shots. Rural residents are another target area where vaccination rates have been lower. Steve Dean is mayor of Leroy, a city of less than 4,000 people southeast of Bloomington. Dean pushed to get the vaccine in his community from day one.
I started haranguing McLean County Health Department and saying, I want clinics in Leroy. I can come up with the place. I can come up with how many ever volunteers you need.
And the health department responded. It hosted four clinics in Leroy churches, including two at the Mayor's House of Worship, Leroy First United Methodist. Pastor Matthias Lorimore says the congregation has been very careful about COVID. He jokes the church bought enough hand sanitizer and Lysol to float Noah's Ark. He wants everyone to get vaccinated, but it's not something he preaches from the pulpit. He says that's more of a one-on-one conversation when people ask about it.
It's always kind of felt like an issue that was meant to have more of that personal touch than to be that just kind of I don't want to say lecture, but that one-way conversation.
Having personal conversations can be hard during a pandemic, especially when you're new to a community. Timothy Mark Harris started last month as senior pastor at Mount Pisgah Baptist Church in Bloomington, one of the area's oldest predominantly Black churches. One of Harris's first tasks as pastor was to transition the church back to in-person worship. Harris says the congregation has been cautious in trying to keep everyone safe. COVID has hit minority communities especially hard. African Americans, and in particular Black Protestants, have also been unwilling to get the vaccine in large numbers. Harris says he wants to encourage vaccinations as much as he can. He says that will take time to build trust to have those conversations.
It takes people time to open up completely, so I'm just going to continue being engaging and be open and available, and then to the best of my ability, lead them to a place where they have some comfort, but also clear understanding on what's going on in the world today.
Harris says while the congregation has been cautious, he believes as many as 9 in 10 of Mount Pisgah's members are vaccinated. Harris says he understands the hesitation the Black community may have given a history of medical racism, but he says it's unfair to suggest that African Americans can't see past that to see the science.
I think that's in some sense an unfair characterization because of course, we should never forget our history, and we actually learn from our history. And so being cautious and moving through a systematic approach of thinking regarding decision-making is important to our community.
One challenge health officials face in pushing more people of faith to get vaccinated is the conflict some see between faith and science. Leroy Mayor Steve Dean says he doesn't see it as an either-or.
I think the faith perspective comes in with you have to trust somebody, And my preference is I'll trust God, but I'll also trust science.
And Dean's pastor, Leroy First UMC, Matthias Lorimer, offers a biblical analogy to the current state of the pandemic. He says as vaccination rates rise, the promised land is in sight. I'm Eric Stock.
A survey from the Public Religion Research Institute shows Jews and white Catholics are least likely to refuse the COVID vaccine. This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Human service providers do more than care for community members. They're a big employer and economic booster for McLean County. That's according to a new report by Illinois Partners for Human Services and the Bloomington Normal Economic Development Council. It shows more than 1,600 jobs in the sector, which generates over $250 million for McLean County's economy. Dana Vollmer talked to Illinois Partners' Holly Ambule about the findings.
In the past, the study only looked at organizations that were funded by United Way, but this time we expanded that pool, so we approached all nonprofit human services providers, including those that do primarily advocacy, and not necessarily only direct services. We approached about 75 organizations, and 55 ended up participating. That's about a 75% response rate, and the results are very compelling. So we're measuring this, not just the size of the aggregate employers in the human services space, so the dollars that circulate in our county's economy as a result of their presence here. So that includes the actual payroll that they collectively, but also how the employees spending money in our community creates a secondary impact and supports other jobs.
Why is it important to have this information? What does it tell us?
It's important for the general public to understand that the human services sector is a contributor in our economy and to value them, not just for the services they provide to individuals and families in our community, but also to value them as a major employer that contributes to our economy and our gross domestic product in a really tangible way. So if these businesses disappeared from our economy, the ripple effects would be felt across the business community. So it would affect our economy, but also the lives of people that are served by these organizations as well.
Is that a growing threat? Is this a pretty viable space for nonprofit work?
They're not going anywhere, thankfully. The businesses in the survey have shown amazing resilience, like many other sectors, and especially in the past year. Uniquely, the nonprofit human services community is supported by public investment in the sector. Unlike the for-profit sector, the nonprofit human services employers can't just raise their prices to cover increased costs, like a business can that sells a tangible products. So these employers are providing services that help bring well-being to individuals and families and make sure everybody can thrive and reach their potential in our communities. And we really rely on the public investment from the federal, state, and local government to make sure that that happens.
There was another line that stood out. It was about the fact that human services leaders should have a seat at the table in decision-making processes the same way that business leaders do. Do you feel like that happens now?
There's definitely room for improvement there. And that's part of what I hope this research will facilitate, is really an increased level of respect and inclusion for the human services nonprofit sector, where even with only a 75% response rate, that as a collective, this group of employers represent the fifth largest in our community, which is something when it's in the mix with, you know, our major school districts, hospitals, and anchor employers in the private sector. So that's what we want to make sure people appreciate and understand. If you're pulling together a group of business leaders, a representative from the nonprofit human services sector should be included.
That's Holly Ambule with Illinois Partners for Human Services talking to Dana Vollmer. To read the full report, go to WGLT.org. This is 89.1 FM WGLT and WGLT.org. The new redistricting maps for state House and Senate seats in Illinois make some significant changes to the boundaries of some legislative districts. Bloomington Normal and Peoria have not been spared. Dave Kaler has represented Peoria since 2006 in the state Senate, where he serves as assistant majority leader. The new state Senate map means he would also represent parts of Bloomington Normal. Christine Hatfield speaks with Kaler about how he'd bring Bloomington Normal and Peoria together as part of his work.
Well, there's a lot of similarities. You know, it's a university town. You know, Peoria has Bradley University as a large university, and of course the community college system is both in Bloomington Normal and in Peoria. You've got Wesleyan University, you've got ISU. So I think there's a lot of similarities in that. There are urban areas within otherwise rural downstate community of Illinois. So I think that there's a lot of there's a lot of back and forth. I think just with cultural events, people all the time are going from one community to the other to whether it's a sporting event or whether it's a concert or what have you. I think there's a lot of interaction already that takes place between our two communities.
How do you think that sort of relationship is going to affect how you handle your work?
Well, I think it'd be very exciting because again, the two communities have a lot of similarities. In terms of the demographics of who makes up the communities, the fact again that they are cultural centers within the region that they're situated in. So I think probably the only thing that will cause me some concern is when Bradley plays ISU in the basketball.
So how do you think your experience so far as a state senator would carry over into this expanded district?
I'll let the voters decide, but I think pretty well. I think that, I've been involved in local politics in Peoria for quite some time. I was on the county board for 6 years. I was on the city council in Peoria for 8 years. So I understand the local government. I don't know the current mayor of Bloomington. I've not met him yet, but I know the past mayor of Bloomington, and I know the mayor of Normal. So, there's those relationships exist already. A lot of the unions that I work with overlap with Bloomington Normal. They have large territories, and so I think out of the 17 building trades unions, probably 10 or 11 of them cover both Peoria and Bloomington Normal.
Assuming you do get elected in 2022, what do you think the biggest obstacles ahead would be?
The biggest obstacles we have really are more with a state. How do we, especially downstate communities, how do we begin after a pandemic of a year and a half, begin to revitalize small business and our economy? So I think those are the challenges we have. I don't see any particular challenges with the district per se. I think it's more of an issue of looking at general things that are going to affect Illinois.
What do you think Bloomington Normal's biggest needs are?
I guess I intend to find that out, and I think I want to listen and carefully pay attention to what ordinary citizens feel about their community. So when election time comes, I'll be spending a lot of time on the ground having those discussions. I don't want to presume that I know anything before I really talk and listen.
How do you think your representation would build the Democratic Party up in Bloomington Normal in particular?
Well, I think that there's probably a chance to have more interaction with people from both communities. I've been very involved in the Peoria County Democratic Party. I'm the treasurer of the party organization right now. So I tend to be able to meet. I know quite a few of the people that are in the McLean County Democratic Party. So a lot of that is just a matter of making sure that I make contact with them and have discussions with them. I've done some of that already, but. There'll be more to come.
That was Peoria State Senator Dave Kaler. He spoke with reporter Christine Hatfield. All state Senate seats come up for election in years following redistricting. The winner of next year's election for the 46th state Senate district would serve in that position for the next 4 years. Some senators would only serve a 2-year term to create a staggered turnover in the Illinois Senate. This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. After most normal town council members rebuked council member Stan Nord for leveling unfounded ethics allegations against city manager Pam Reese, Reese says she wants to move on. Nord had alleged irregularities in procurement, zoning, and determining who from the community would be included in a citizen summit back in 2019. The first two issues are a matter of law, and Reese did not have anything to do with the specific instances Nord mentioned. The summit was a council decision, not a staff choice. Council members labeled Nord's statements slanderous, false, and sexist during a special meeting on the topic held in public to balance Nord's public accusations. Reese says she's satisfied with the expression of council's support for her professionalism and ethics.
It was a good discussion. I'm glad it was a public conversation with my bosses, which are the elected officials, and we're moving forward. I'm very proud to work for the Normal Town Council. I think we have many good things going on, and I appreciate council's conversation and their willingness to have that public discussion. So in my opinion, the conversation happened. I appreciate council's support, and I'm in a good place. We're moving forward.
What is the effect on an organization when the conduct of its members, its professional staff, is called into question? What does that do to rank and file staff?
Well, I think in any organization, you know, any accusations of ethical impropriety or integrity issues is very difficult, and it's stressful for all. And so I think a public conversation in addressing those issues head on is very important for the culture, for the environment. And as an organization, we have identified our values and integrity, productivity, dedication, empathy. Those are identified as our values. And our employees, I think, understand that. That's part of our annual performance tool, performance review. So for council to have that conversation in public, I think affirms the importance of our values in this organization.
Mr. Nord alleged that there were no ethics statements codified by the town. You've just said that they are codified in performance reviews. How else are ethical standards and professional conduct lived out?
We do identify our values in terms of council's strategic planning document, in terms of our performance evaluation tool, in terms of how we hold employees accountable for their expectations and their performance. Organizationally, it really comes down to the values that the city council identifies for the organization. And those values define our culture.
You indicated at the special meeting that you would not take future instances of impugning your professional conduct that turn out to be baseless lightly. What do you mean by that? How will you push back against future such incidents?
Well, basically doing the same thing that happened, asking council to publicly share with citizens whether or not there is an ethical issue to address. To put something out in a public meeting and not have it addressed, I think is unfortunate for anyone, not just me. You know, if we want to make accusations of anyone's ethical or standards or integrity, I just think we always should be cautious. And so I have asked council, and I'm sure you've heard it at past council meetings, when references to my professional code of ethics has been raised, I have asked council to go into executive session if there's a legitimate concern. Alternatively, if not, I certainly would hope and expect that the record be set straight so that there is no confusion.
Is what Mr. Nord has done defamation?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question, Charlie. That sounds like more of a legal definition, and I can't respond to that. I don't know.
You wouldn't know whether it's what he's done is actionable then?
I wouldn't. The Normal Town Council, as you know, but the Normal Town Council has one employee, and it's the city manager. And so that conversation the other night, while public, was a discussion between employee and employer. And like I said, I'm pleased that the discussion happened. I appreciate council having that conversation. It's never an easy conversation to have. And like I said, I feel like it's done and we're moving forward. So
that's Normal City Manager Pam Reese. Thanks for choosing Sound Ideas on WGLT, made possible in part by Bloomington Normal Audiology. I'm Charlie Schlenker. This is Bloomington Normal's Public Media.